Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello, my name is Gary Mansfield, and this is the Ministry of Arts podcast, where each week I'll be speaking to a different artist. Now let's begin by banging these bongos. Hello and welcome to this bonus episode of the Ministry of Arts podcast. Today I'm taking you to meet children's storybook author Darren Garwood. Darren, like so many other authors in this field, simply created a storybook for his own child, and with so much positive feedback from friends and family, thought it might be something other parents might like for their children. And with a lot of hard work and dedication, that's exactly what Jackson's Superhero has become. The story behind Jackson's Superhero is an absolutely beautiful one, and one you really must hear. And who better from, well, the author and father of Jackson's Superhero himself, Mr. Darren Garwood. Ah, and I should just quickly mention that this episode was recorded over Zoom, like most of them are these days, but there did appear to be a bad connection. And although sometimes it might affect the quality of the audio, it never affects the quality of the content. So, once again, here's Darren Garwood.
So you've done that and then enjoyed it, and it was a way of seeing you through, if you like, you know, you're doing this time or whatever.
Yeah.
But I suppose I, with my books, I said to you before that on the messages, is I've never, I drew pictures in my English exam. Like, that was because I was idiotic, childish, 16, 15. I tried to take the pee. Yeah, it's not great, but it doesn't mean your life's knackered. You can pick up and you can, you know. But like, there's no way. I mean, I've had an old teacher contact me and said, how the hell have you got 3 books out? but it just happened. But it's, I suppose if you love something and you really think and you push yourself to it, you can do a lot of stuff, I think. You know, you can really...
Well, your writing didn't come about because of your want to write, did it? It was an indirect route. But if I start this podcast off by asking the first question that I ask everyone,
right,
and it is, how would you explain what you do to someone that doesn't know your work?
Right. I write children's books based on my son, Jackson, who's terminally ill. Where he becomes a superhero in his dreams, where he can do everything he can in the day.
Just tell us a little background of who Jackson is.
Oh, Jackson's my son, and 1 year's old, he was coming up, you know, doing everything a 1 year old should do, trying to walk, he's saying mum, dad, feeding himself. And then just after, before his first birthday, he one thing was in his hands and he started picking food up with his mouth, and he got taken to hospital, and we got taken to Great Ormond Street, and by the end of the week he was diagnosed and was told he'd only live to what would be unlikely to see his second birthday. So Yeah. So that was
A bit of a hard day, I presume, that one, right?
Hard week, hard day. I mean, they're the days that you sort of forget, not forget, but you when you think back at them, you think, how the fuck did I get out of that?
Yeah.
Or how the fuck I picked myself up to get this far down the line to have another kid, you know, and just try and be happy. You know, them the days when you've... I always explain this one, is the way I felt, you don't want to... I wanted to finish it. I wanted it to end, but not I wanted to die, because I wanted my brain to stop thinking. I wanted to... It was just keeping me awake. It was... I couldn't wake up. Even when I did fall asleep, I'd wake up and think it was a dream and then hit reality. And I was thinking, just stop. Just start. Just finish it. And I didn't want to... not wake up, you know, I didn't want to finish it and then never have another go. That was the problem. I wanted to just have a bit of, and I just think sometimes you need a little switch off. And if I didn't have people around me, I would have definitely took that route. And it weren't because like I said, wanted to finish it, just wanted a break.
That's the reason most people get into that position, because they've got this thing going around. I've been there myself.
Yeah.
You know, you've got this certain thing going round and round in your head and it won't leave you alone. So the only way to do it is to stop everything. And that ain't the fucking answer. You and I both sitting here is testament to the acknowledgement that isn't the answer.
You could try drink and, you know, and that way, because obviously my son was getting 2 hours sleep, broken sleep a night, and obviously we had to deal with him. Yeah. And trying to do that with an hangover or half cut, it's just not healthy, especially with hangover. Operate, you want to wake up and you're fresh, so you can't do that. It's just we had to get through that stage and we just had to deal with it. But I think I took 6 weeks off work, 6 months off work. I got glandular fever. I was just so run down. I remember someone asked me if I'd been in a fight, and my eyes were so black and, you know, just back asleep. Weren't in a good place. But I remember my wife said to me, pull yourself together in a nice way, like, come on. Because you see, I weren't eating or anything like that. I remember I didn't eat, and I said, because it tastes like chalk. Like, it just don't, nothing, it's not nice, you know. And she just said, look, Jackson needs you. You're his dad. You're the only one he's got. You know, you're his father, you know. And I was like, do you know what? And it wasn't like I was neglecting him or nothing. It was just that I wasn't enjoying things, and it was just part of things and stuff. You know, I wasn't, you know, I'd try and join him, but I weren't. I was just too thinking of other stuff, do you know?
Yeah.
Just messing my head up.
And what's the condition that Jackson's got?
Crabbe disease. It's classed as a leukodystrophy, so it's vanishing white matter of the brain. I'd never heard of it before or anything. There's only one child a year born in the UK with it. We only lived to two. And the head of Great Ormond Street, neurology at Great Ormond Street, said it was her third case in 25 years. Amazing. So, very rare. So...
I remember on Stu's podcast when you was talking to him that you was going up to the hospital when Jackson wasn't well, and the nurses just had no idea what to do for the best.
Yeah, well, there's funny. Basildon, we were told by a doctor in Basildon that in 5 years of medical school, they learn about it for about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
They just literally name condition. That's probably about it. And there was one doctor, and he left Basildon Hospital, but there was one doctor there who actually knew what it was. But then you have the doctors that just want to come and see Jackson because they've never seen a child with it, do you know?
Yeah, unfortunately, he becomes a little test piece, which isn't nice for you, but it helps anyone down the line afterwards, doesn't it, you know?
I would feel a bit more comfort in that if there was a treatment, if they was looking, but they come around and they hit him on the leg and they say, and I go, what are you doing? And they go, we're just seeing if he's got reflex. And I go, all right, did he have reflex before? No. Is he likely to get reflex again? No. Why are you hitting him on the leg?
Fucking leave him alone then, yeah.
Over it. And I go, what are you going to do with that information? No, we just put it down. So you're not going to bet, no one's benefiting him from it. So that's what winds me up. You know, we went down so many different routes with his treatment, and he'd be seven in August. Do you know what I mean? Like, so he's done really well. We'd give him a hyperbaric therapy in a chamber in our house, which is breathing oxygen under pressure, and it revitalizes red blood cells or something like that, and it helps his nerves. And organic, free range, dairy free, sugar free diet, and he's got to be fed for a tube, but it's all the best sort of stuff. And we use CBD oil for him, and he used to get really stiff. He used to have, he had a seizure that nearly lasted all day, and we started using his oil. It stopped him having seizures instantly. And when he got taken into Great Ormond Street Hospital, because he his lungs got so much fluid in, they started sticking, and he turned blue on us, and we had to rush to hospital. And it turned out he had loads of norovirus and loads of other issues, like infection. And they told us there that we might lose him there because his lungs might just... It turned out he was a little fighter because he obviously got through it. But I said, when he started coming round, he was in a coma and he had a tube but intubated and everything. They thought he had this thing called stridor, and that's the narrowing of the airways in the throat, and you make this noise. So when you've had something down the throat, apparently it all closes up to close up that item in the throat. So when you open up the air, pull the tubes out, it's narrower for a little while, apparently, and it makes this noise. And Jackson really stridor, and he was flaring at the lips. And I said, look, he needs his oil. He hasn't had it for 4 or 5 days. He's unconscious. You know, I need to give him his oil. He said, no, you can't give it to him. So I'm not asking for permission. I'm giving it to him, right? Because he's my son. I've been giving it to him for this long. This is dangerous for him. We don't know what's going to happen. You don't know this. So if they took the bottle and put it in a controlled drug unit, even though you can buy it, it's CBD, all right? So they took it off me. Luckily, my wife had another bottle because we have to spare in case we lose it. That's how important it is to us. Put it in his mouth, and within about 3 minutes, the stridor stopped and the flaring stopped. And they said, this stuff's amazing. I said, this is what I keep trying to tell you. That Jackson is the proof. Not, you know, this is what we're doing. I'm not saying it's the better, more beneficial than what's been going on for the last years.
Yeah,
if it works, it works. It's not like he's getting stoned and sleeping for 4 days. It's just helping me.
So the Jackson superhero books, how did they come about? I know you just brushed on it, but the books themselves.
I remember the day my wife was sitting there watching TV, and I just put Jackson to bed, and she went, I wonder if he dreams. And I thought, this. Because we don't know he does, because he can't speak or anything. And I thought to myself, he has such a boring day, really, compared to what 5-year-olds, 4-year-olds were, you know, should be having, you know, playing toys. And I thought, I wonder if he dreams. And I just thought, I'll make his dreams up for him. And I'm always beautiful. Good with countdown and words. I always make up silly rhymes, you know, change words. He reacts to his name. So obviously I'll call it Jackson, the book Jackson Superhero, if the kid wants to be a superhero. So I just started writing these stories. And I remember the first line, Jackson's a boy with special powers, but he doesn't show them off in the daylight hours. When it is dark, Jackson lies half awake, dreaming of adventurous journeys he'll take. And then in the distance from out of the blue, he is a strange, only one thing to do. Then he flies off as a rocket, you know. It's so the idea of the story was we didn't, mum and dad, as us, we didn't know that every time Jackson goes to sleep or goes to bed, he wakes up and goes, well, Jackson thinks he wakes up on an adventure. Jackson think that we don't know that he's going on these adventures. So, but obviously they're in his dream. Do you know, that's what but he don't realise they're in his dream. He actually thinks he's going off an adventure. So yeah, and it's they took off really well. We got we was on BBC, been on BBC a few times, ITV, we went to number one best book on number one best children's book, and I was really amazed. We come to 38th best sold book on Amazon at one point. So seeing it in Waterston by Bates Smith. So I was like, there's my book. And that's the idea. I wanted to get the book out. So then my other kids could see their brother when he's no longer here or when he is here.
Got ya.
You know, so when he's no longer here, even when the kids are 15, they can say, look, there's my brother there. There's Jackson. Yeah. You know, it'd be magical.
So you'd never written a book before. You made up these stories. The first bit there, you said it was poetic. Is the rest of the book in rhyme, or is it just a story?
It's all rhyme. The whole book. All three books are in rhyme. Yeah.
Excellent. And the drawings. Who illustrated the book?
Yes, another good little story. My mate, a bloke I used to work with when I was 19. I'm 39, and he lived on the estate. And we've been mates for years, and I knew he was good at drawings and stuff. And when I got the idea of the book, I just phoned him up and said, do us a favour, illustrate this for us. And I said, just want to get a book together for Jackson. He went, oh, I'll do it for nothing. I said, all right. So he gave me the drawings. I sent them off to a publisher, and the first two books got published. So I was well chuffed. Yeah. He was chuffed. So obviously, it didn't make, you know, don't make your mega bucks or anything, but it's just nice to say. And then I learned the process. I had a publisher in the the lockdown, the first one, because of COVID and bits and bobs like that. You know, just they had to concentrate on one business instead of the one that weren't making that much money. And so I learned the process and brought out the third book, Jackson Saves the Moon. Come out in October. It's doing really well. Yeah, that book become number one children's book for a short while. Well, chuffed.
Superb. And I remember when you was on Hardcore Listing Podcast, you was saying about the input of Russell Brand, who's from your own town.
Yeah. I mean, he's really helped me out. Yeah, I mean, so is lots of people. But he obviously he's a mega star and he gets brought up a lot. But it was by luck really, and we got a few connections anyway. My younger brother's mate was Bubbles the Man at West Ham, and he got us because he heard about Jackson. He managed to get a special day at the Bobby Moore Lounge for us, and I didn't let anyone know. They just, because my brother and my younger brother and my dad are big West Ham fans.
Yeah,
I haven't told no one I'm Tottenham, right? So I thought West Ham. My dad, they said, how many tickets do you want? I thought my dad would absolutely love it. He'd get a day with Jackson. We all go out, you know, it'd be nice, and my brother would love it. Anyway, we got up there, Bobby Moore's Lounge. Is there, Trevor St. Clair, all nice people. Russell Brand's there. So I go up to him and said, all right, you know, have a chat. And we've got a few connections. Like, my wife went to the same school as him. Didn't know him at school. My mate's mum taught him at school, explained about Jackson. And he said, so anyway, we swapped number. I gave him my number. And about 2 weeks later, he rang me up and said, what do you want me to do for Jackson? And I was like, no, I was a little bit lonely. I was at Tottenham that day. what can I do for Jackson? And I thought, oh, I'd want to take Jackson to Disney in France because he can't fly. We'll get the Eurostar over there. And I ain't been to work for a few months. So if we can get a few items to auction, I'd love to take him there. And he said, and I'll tell you what, he said, get a venue and I'll do a gig for you. I'll do a stand-up night just for Jackson. I was like, really? He was like, I was blown away. So I had to do, I found the, because he's from Grays, I got the stick in Grays. And he said, the best, you know, he phones me up and he's like, yep, I got it all for you. This date sorted. And I was like, literally, I nearly bottled it. That's how, you know, I was like, why has this happened? I was like, I can't go. I can't do it. I was like this. But no, he's, you know, the help the guy, you know, he's gave us loads of help. He's really, even with other stuff, you know, nice, kind messages that just point us in the right direction sometimes. And, you know, he gave us this little blurb book, you know, reviews and stuff. So it really does help us out. But I think he's just a kind bloke anyway. He's just a nice bloke.
Yeah. So you now, as an author, albeit part-time, do you now get involved in the author culture, as it were?
No, not really what that is. I don't. No, with my work, and I love doing the book and I love doing bits about the books and stuff, but it's, I haven't got time. But then I don't think I'll be accepted because I can barely speak English. I don't even say the right words, you know, when I talk and things like that.
Well,
and
I've got to
it's
say,
only when I start writing things down.
No. But my mate Kimberly Chambers, who I've known for quite a few years, she's from Dagenham and she's one of those who makes sort of Chaz and Dave sound like Prince Charles, you know, but she's a Times bestseller list, you know, and so I don't think it matters how bad you talk. But so you haven't done the Waterstones signings then?
No, I, you know what, I did, and I was a bit embarrassed, but I thought, sod it anyway. I got collared, looking at my own book in Waterstones. But at least I got... it had been up there 2 or 3 weeks. My mum had sent me pictures, mates and everything, and I just hadn't got out. I didn't have the time, and I thought, I've got to see it in the shops. First time ever. And I walked in there, and it just happened that BBC had been in there about 2 weeks earlier and done a not doing it, spoke to the manager, then come around to us and done the bit about with us about the book and everything, and then put it out there. It was only that I went in there, looked at my book, and I was and the manager, she was like, "Oh, you're the author, aren't you?" And I thought, "Oh, that's the one they must have interviewed before." And anyway, they got me to sign. There's 5 or 6, but it was lovely to sit next to Roald Dahl. Do you know?
Well, you got something to aspire to, haven't you?
Yeah, no, definitely. And I just want to, it's a legacy I want to leave for Jackson more than anything.
Of course.
I love doing it, doing a piece. And if I involved with some sort of, you know, some sort of, what's it called, foundation of sort of writing, whatever they're called, that'd be great. But yeah, I'd feel a bit embarrassed next to the people who have spent years in universities and in learning English
that's the way it goes, mate.
Me come along.
No, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, true.
I mean, I speak to artists on here who have been at university for 3 years getting their BA, a further 3 years getting an MA. Then they've been artists for sort of like 20 years just trying to make it. And then I speak to other artists who just go, I think I might try art. And then bang, 9 months later, they're sort of earning a really good living at it, you know, and employing people.
Well, that is one of the bits I do love is getting reviews off of Faye Barker from ID News or Tim Hopgood, Wells, Dell. Is it one of the books? Is what I used to read this book to Jackson, one of the first books when I was reading to him, and it was, and he gave me a review about my book. And even I've wrote to him back and said, look, you inspired me. This book really, this is one that made me pay attention to children's books. And yeah, they're nice. And when I got messages from people in Malaysia saying they were using my book as for English lessons, I was like, really? My book? You know, I didn't even pass English. I drew a picture of a number plate. I don't know why.
Well, a similar story to yours as such is, have you heard of or do you know of Background Bob?
No.
He's a young kid who I think he's 13, or his mum and dad are into like street art and stuff. And like Jackson, he sits in a chair, you know, and communicates through eye contact and the odd smile and whatnot, you know. And they put a brush in their son's hand and he sort of moved his hand about on these bits of A4 cardboard with paint. And then they sent these bits of cardboard out to artists and asked if they'd draw on them. Then they had this massive exhibition up in a gallery up in Colchester with 200 and odd artists from all around the world.
Yeah.
And yeah, a similar sort of thing. You know, he just done it off the back of seeing his boy.
Yeah, I think everyone's got a gift. You just don't know what it is. Like, I was messing around before I done the books, was I could be the best underwater synchronized swimmer, but I don't know. Right, you know, it's just, I've got something, but you just don't know until you get there.
Is there a fourth book in store?
There is. So the first, I think I missed the second one out. I think the first one's, your first one's called Jackson Saves an Owl. The second one's Jackson Solution to Pollution. Just a nice message to help kids to clean up. The third one, Jackson Saves the Moon. And the fourth one, we're going to try and get out for summer. And then we'll try and get Jackson Saves Christmas out. But I think that might be a push,
nice.
I think, at the moment.
Nice. Have you got any thoughts about it being made into anything other than a book? A program, a cartoon.
I'd love it to see it into that. But I mean, I got offered a contract from some people in America, and they basically told me they had one of their books on their contracts that was to an animated series. And basically, they said to me, an animated series is just a massive advert for the product. So, I mean, and obviously, I'd love it if that was the case, but. Yeah, it'd be amazing. Just for Jackson. That's it. I'd love it for him to be. I mean, we got CBeebies. We couldn't have it on their bedtime stories, so they done us a personalised CBeebies bit for us. And Jackson absolutely loved it. But
nice.
He because his hearing's great. He can see when it works, he can see. You know, I can do silly faces and he'll smile, but it's having everything working at the right time and the body playing along, really. But yeah, it's that's the thing I want, you know, a brother, his sister to watch Jackson on the TV. You know, I want him, you know, it's nice.
You just want your other kids to see him in a different light to how they see him every day.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. My little daughter, she says, look, there's Jaxie Superheroes, does he do that in his bed? So I mean, she don't know either. She's only three, she don't know what Jackson. So she actually thinks that he goes off and becomes super as well. But then she keeps, I feel really bad on her because she's not in a story. So
Are you going to put her in a story?
No, do you know what? I've come up with another idea. But see, one of the reasons why I didn't take the contract from the American people was it felt like I was giving away my son. Yeah. When I thought, I've got too much of a connection to Jackson's Zupio. That's my project. I've never had contracts thrown at me or anything like that. And this was not like this. And it just scared me a bit. And I didn't want to lose everything to do. You know, so part of another story, and it's first one's obviously Dream You're a Superhero. It's a short story that just gets kids ready for bed. Dream You're a Superhero. The next one is Dream You're a Unicorn. Dream You're an Astronaut. And it's little rhyming stories of what you can do, and very quick little stories just for bedtime. And that's I'm going to try and bring one of them out as well. But nice. What we call Super Pig. I would have gave it away, but because it's a Jackson superhero, I just find it a little bit. I used to get upset reading the books to Jackson, knowing that Jackson couldn't do what I was reading him in the stories. You know, this kid's going to play football, this kid's going to do. So if I can get kids to dream, whatever, you know, just to try and do what they can't do in the day, that's the idea. Whether it's about, if I can't let go of Jackson superhero, that's the problem. It keeps me busy doing the book side of things. I enjoy doing it. And if it gets too busy, then that's a good sign. And, I always say I've done really well. I've spoken to, funnily enough, I sent emails out to, see, I'm one of these people that if I was going to submit one of my stories to a publisher, I don't submit it through the submitting guidelines. I find out the chief executive. I don't go through, it's just there. I work. Yeah. I'm going to wait 3 months. I mean, that's how I got the CBeebies thing done. I wrote to Tony Hall, head of CBeebies, and he emailed me back and they managed to get this CBeebies thing. I don't know. So I go to these. So anyway, this guy from one of these top publishers sat there and gave me a load of advice. He Zoom called me and said, I'll do it. Your story sounds amazing. He went for it. He said, I'll call you in about 6 months' time when you get a publishing deal and everything. You know, such a nice bloke. And he gave me all this advice. And he said, you have done amazing. Like, you've on your own, you're in the shops, you're in Waterstones. I'm trying to get into, what's the other place? Oh, God, Morrison's at the moment. He said, you've had so much. You've been on Unilad, Lad Bible. You've been in most countries around the world. You've got, and he said, why do you want someone else to handle it? You're probably doing all right, you know? And I said, but if I've done this and I am not a publisher and I'm shit at my job, someone who knows what they're doing could possibly push it on a little bit further.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if I got the right deal, I might let go, you know, but if it works, that's the thing.
Yeah. But like you say, you know, if it's going well, and you're loving what you're doing, you know, you don't want it to become a fucking burden, that's for sure. Do you know what I mean? Because it means too much.
I won't let it. Yeah, I mean, if I need help, I'll get help, you know, and I want it to be enjoyable. That's the reason why I've done it. It's supposed to be a process that me and Jackson go through. We look at every picture when it's done. You know, it's not just scribble it out and get it out there just based on me saying, it's a, what do you think of this, mister? There's even a bit where I want to try and, it's hard in a book to make it high pitched. It's one of my stories. Jurassic Jackson. So he flies so fast, he travels back in time, and he finds a group of dinosaurs that are all in a band. But he wants to know where they're electric. Wants to know the instruments in their band. You've got it's prehistoric creatures. You've got a dragonfly who's really thin. When she flies really air, she sounds like a violin. Then you've got a caveman who pops like the clappers. When he jumps up and down, it sounds like maracas. There's a bit in it where Mike, the microraptor's missing, and Jackson goes missing for it. And there's a bit in it. Jackson finds Mike, and he flies Mike by a bug. And I've got to do it in high pitched noise. He goes, "Yeah, Mike's back." His friends scream, "Is our band's missing Cog?" And I have to do it high pitch, otherwise Jackson don't like it. And I don't, you know, unless I go through it the whole room. And then that's one of he likes the ending of it as well, because it's always ends where one of us walks into the room or he wakes up on a lap. And the ending is Mum walks into my room. My room, a creak sound comes from the floor. That's not a creak, I thought. That sounds more like a roar. I bet it's my friend Rex, the dinosaur. And it's just nice because if you heard the creak on the floor, is it Mum or is it the dinosaur? I don't know, you know. It's why I'm still in my dream. So, yeah, I love doing it for him and I love rhyming. But after I was just funny enough, I was saying to one of my mates today that if I have a day where I'm doing my book and I've just got rhyming going on, rhymes in my head, I'd end up saying, can I have it for me? You know, just all these stupid. get out of my head, stop rhyming.
So you ain't thought of turning it into the Jackson rap yet then?
I've done a song in that one. So Rex stands up and starts off with a very loud burp and a double cough. Dinosaurs are happy. We are not snappy. We are prehistoric creatures from another time. Some of us play instruments, but I like to rhyme. We all might stomp our feet and roar really loud, but when we get our band together, we are really proud. Or something like that, it goes. So, I don't know. Yeah, there's a little song, that one, at the end. So, but no music, because I can't play an instrument.
So. Superb. So what's coming up now for you as a family, insofar as Jackson is concerned, and what's coming up for the book? Is there anything on the horizon?
Not with lockdown or anything like that. We've got nothing planned up for Jackson himself. We generally try and get away. He don't deal with the cold very well. He takes a long time to warm back up if he loses his temperature. So, you know, if we even just going out down the road in his pushchair, in his pram, or he just gets so cold. He's just better off laying indoors, being snuggled up throughout the winter months and in the spring. And we just play it by ear, really, where we can go, what we can do. I mean, so I might sound stupid saying this, but I'm not too worried about it, because Jackson's vulnerable to everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we nearly died from norovirus 2 years ago. It's just another thing we've got to be careful of. And that's how us, you know, we can't lock ourselves away, because it's no life for anyone. Jackson, you know, we want to try and do numbers with him and do stuff. But yeah, so he's generally fine as long as he's getting cuddles and he stays away from colds and stops getting, don't get bugs or anything. So yeah, he's doing okay. So yeah, I think with the book, yeah, just try and get this next one out. We don't want it to get stale. I don't want it to stop and then people forget about it, because we're on such a good moment that I want to just sort of snowball effect and just start building and just try and get a bigger fan base. And like I said, I've had, you know, what is beautiful, Jackson's, you're going to, not that you want to go in there, but you're going to Basin Hospital in the Children's World, they've got a Jackson superhero wall up of his books, and, you know, and I give books to, if I could afford it, I'll give it to every hospice and children's hospital, but I can't, you know, but I do give it to, when I have a few spare at the end of every order, I send them off to the hospices and stuff like that. I've never put who they're from, I just send them off. I don't, you know,
I mean, would there be a way of doing something, you know, you could say, like, I don't know how much your books are, but you say, like, buy one of these books. If you buy two, we'll donate one to your local hospice or children's hospital, you know?
Yeah, that's a great idea. I mean, the worst thing is, I'm trying to do it all on my own at the moment, and I've just got a website made, and I am useless at anything like this. I mean, you know, I'm just not good. I managed to link my printer up to my laptop the other day. That's I got, so oh god. And yeah, so we got my brother come up with getting some superhero doll cuddly toys done, so I've got 1,000 Jackson superhero cuddly toys coming at the moment. So
superb. And where will you be selling them, on your site?
I'll be sending them on the site, yeah, definitely, but I'm gonna obviously dish a few out to the kiddies in the hospitals and stuff like that, because it's just you know, one of the good things we got once, we got rushed to hospital from Basden to Great Ormond Street and we didn't, no one knows anything about ambulances, but we got transferred there by a team called CATS, and it's Children's Acute Transfer Service or something like that. And you're in bits, you've just left your car, you've got your daughter, I've left my daughter with someone else, do you know, like, we've had to Jackson come first, someone's picked my daughter up, I don't know where she is, I know she's safe, but you know, and you're in the ambulance and your son's got tubes down his throat, and the just before that, they've bagged him and they're breathing with a bag for him. So you're not thinking, you know, you don't know what's going on. And then they give you this little bag, and inside the bag, you think, I'm not even interested what's in that bag. You know, I don't care. They give you, I used it as a pillow just while I was on it, so I could just watch Jackson and just lean on it and just while I was traveling. And it weren't until they stuck us in a hostel that comes with the hospital. You know, if you've got and stay there for a few nights, we haven't got a car or anything. I mean, the clothes that we're wearing, we've only got what we got, in this bag was the first night, and it was really nice. It was just some toothpaste, do you know, and some toothbrushes. And they just thought, and I thought, oh, that's, you know, but imagine if you've got a kid,
with
these little bit, you know, they had these little toys in there, little toy for when if you have got a kid. So I just thought maybe I could give them something like that as well, do you know, to chuck a little toy in the bag, if I can get in touch with CATS or something and do something. But yeah, they're something like that. But you appreciate, you not at the time, but it's when you sit down and in there was a tea bag as well, and you just think,
oh. It just makes it feel like in your darkest moment, someone's thinking of you.
Yeah.
A stranger, yeah. You know.
And you bet you they've been there, and that's why they've done it.
Exactly. Because they've sat there and gone, fucking hell, if only we had a toothbrush, toothpaste, and we could make a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. You learn a lot of things spending a lot of time in Great Ormond Street and around that area, because obviously I've stayed in many different hostels that they chuck at, you know, they've got a hotel. I've stayed in ones that the communal, like where you got the small room, but you appreciate it because you don't want to go home. You want to stay local and only parenting, but you can, they stuck us in this really nice one, but it's a shared kitchen and living area. And you start speaking to people that are there, and you've got families that have been living there for 6 weeks.
But then being with them other people, that does sort of, I presume, at some points think that you're the only ones in the world going through this. But then when you sit and talk to other people as well, it's got to be comforting to realise that you're not alone, you know.
It was nice to, because then people had been there 3 or 4 weeks or leading up to 6 weeks, that's how long that would be there, and they were treating it like their house at this point.
Yeah.
And it was nice. And it's no good, because I'd walk in, they'd be like, do you want a brandy? And I'd be like, you know what? Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Fuck that tea bag.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, in the end, because we knew Jackson was turning, like picking up and everything he was doing, I got such a relief. I could see a pub at the end of the street. And this was why, in the night, you might as well go home and get your sleep. So me and my wife would go back to the place, have our dinner, and she would get her Kindle out and she would zonk out. Where me, because that's how I am, I can't sleep at times like that. I'm more relaxed, but I can't sleep. I'm still not hungry, really, and I don't drink. And but I could see that pub, and I knew Tottenham was on for it. And I had a few beers down me, I'll sleep so well. And I didn't enjoy it, but I went out and went to the pub and had a few beers, and it was quite nice. It was weird to go out while your son's in hospital.
Yeah.
But I could sleep, and I was feeling really good and really refreshed.
For a few hours, it's like a little fucking holiday, isn't it, you know? It takes you away from the situation that you're in.
It just shows you, though, what it's like. I went up there and got, I thought, I had a couple of beers, and I thought, I'm actually hungry now. I'm hungry. On a sandwich, nothing too big, with me pint, watching Tottenham. Yeah, it's what it is, and there's nothing we can do about it. But we hate the place because we spend a bit of time there. I hate going up there. It's horrible. But like, I know my way around the hospital.
Darren, how can anyone support Jackson Superhero?
Well, the books are available on www.jacksonsuperhero.com. They're on Amazon, they're in WH Smith's, they're in Waterstones, and plenty of other places as well. So and all the money obviously goes towards supporting Jackson and his diet and everything like that, really. So it's a massive help, and it's a way of us not always having our hand out with just giving pages, and people get something for, if you like, you know, they get a book. So it's nice, and it's a good book.
Of course it is. And for people who are unable to buy one, I'm presuming that on your social media you're happy with just a little like or a follow or a...
That is one of the main reasons behind the book, is to get Jackson out there, not just Jackson Super, Jackson himself, you know, just about, you know, I want him to be forever remembered. So that's the idea, and it's not all about buying books, it's getting the name out there and getting it out there. So
excellent. All the very best, mate, for you, Jackson, and the rest of your family.
No, thanks, mate. I'm glad we connected, be fair, on what's it called, on Instagram. I've just got it up and running and actually learning how to use Instagram. So I'm better at Facebook.
What's your name on social media?
Instagram is Jackson Superhero 1. Twitter is Jackson PR Hero. It was too long for Jackson Superhero, so Jackson PR, and Jackson Superhero on Facebook. But if you're interested in Jackson himself, we have got a page called Jackson Smile, and it's just the page of how Jackson's getting on, how he, you know, what we've been doing with him, and how his sister's been terrorizing him, basically. it's all good.
Excellent. Darren, thank you very much for your time, mate.
Yeah, nice one. Cheers, mate.
Now, how about that, Darren Garwood? Wasn't that just a beautiful story? And as Darren said there, there's several ways in which you can purchase a copy of Jackson Superhero. But if you are unable to do that, please do go over to his social media page. and just give him a bit of support with a like or a share. It'll only take a few moments. If you'd like your own bonus episode to promote your artwork, exhibition, film, book, or anything creative come to that, there is just a small fee, and that goes into supporting this podcast anyway. So if you'd like more information on that, you can contact us on info@ministryofarts.org or on Instagram, which is @ministryofarts.org. Either way, thanks for listening, and until next time, ta-da.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.